fiscal responsibility group. It's similar to the Base Realignment and Closure Committee, BRAC, and that was, they agreed to appoint 14 or 16 public members. They come up with recommendations, and then if an X number of members agree to these recommendations, I think it's 14 out of 18 or 14 out of 16, if they agree to these recommendations, then they go to the Congress, and it's an up or down vote. So it takes, it's kind of like a firing squad where you only give one guy a bullet, you know, and everybody is going to say, I didn't do it or I had to do it.
Well, and it's, and because a lot of these issues are really hard for lawmakers to get their arms around because they just somehow seem incapable of not saying yes to more spending. In fact, we've seen situations, DOD, the defense secretary said, stop raising pay for, and yet.
Well, everybody, and every member of Congress, they're all, in theory, everybody's up for re-election this year in the House. Some of the seats are safe, but probably more at play this election than in any time in our memory. And if you go into them and you vote for something, this will be after the election, but if you vote for something that's going to cut jobs in your area, you know, look at West Virginia. Every fifth thing in West Virginia is named after Senator Robert Byrd, the late Senator Byrd. But it's a very big deal. You know, we can make fun of it from afar, but it's like the Base Realignment and Closure Commission's BRAC. It moved people all over the area, and now it's moving thousands of people down around Fort Belvoir, where we need more traffic, right? Yeah, we need more cars and things.
Maybe you should put some people up in Tysons. Tysons is a fun spot.
So that they're looking at that, and then also on the show tomorrow, we're going to be looking at, we're going to have Jessica Clement and some other people. She's with the Federal Managers Association. We're going to be talking about what the lame duck Congress might do to federal workers, because you have this fiscal committee coming in with recommendations, and you have a lame duck Congress coming in again, hoping to cut the deficit. You have what I refer to as round up the usual suspects.
Right.
They come up with these ideas. How can we cut money from the federal payroll or federal retirement? One of the things is always to eliminate the current formula. Now, federal workers, and it's very generous, federal workers retire based on their highest three-year average salary, which is usually their last 3 years. State Department brings people home from overseas assignments, brings them here for 3 years to jack up their high three, and then they retire. If the change was made that's proposed, they would make it a high five thing, and not the good kind of high five, but the high five salary. So that would reduce the annuity for starting and for life for people. They're also going to look at things like a diet COLA, that is, instead of getting a full cost of living adjustment, you would get the consumer price index, the rise in CPI, minus one percentage point. And that's the way it is now for people under the Federal Employees Retirement System. But there are a number of ideas out there that look good. Most of them don't have any short-term savings, but they do have some long-term. And in the scheme of things, people could say, if we did this, and raising the retirement age, I think you said you'd heard about that. I don't think any of those things are going to happen, but they will be out there at play.
Well, and you're seeing a lot of states where they're under real pressure and they have to balance budgets.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of states that are either cutting back on retirement benefits, even for retirees, or cutting back on certainly proposed. You're seeing a lot of changes out there. And, it's going to be interesting to see how all this ferrets out.
Yeah, there was an interesting Washington Post editorial yesterday talking about the high percentage of disability retirees from the Montgomery County Police Force, much higher than Prince George's, which, if anything, is at least as tough as Montgomery County. And, a lot of the bills are coming due in these states, places like New York, particularly New York City, where previous mayors literally mortgaged the future of the city by giving these great pension demands to police, fire, city employees, and now the bills are coming due. And the big difference between California, New York, Texas, any state, and the United States is they can't print money, and we here in Washington can and do.
And
good business plan.
Which has implications, of course, as well.
Sure.
And has everyone worried. And as you hear people like David Walker, the former head of GAO, talk, it's those long-term, it's not the short-term spending that people are, an issue. It's that long-term, we were talking to the TSP, to Tom Trabuco yesterday, and, how are we going to deal with all these retirees as this big glut of folks enters retirement age? and are getting Social Security, it's going to be a lot. It's a lot of money.
And you know, we can talk about it till we're blue in the face, and everybody talks about these things. But this is a political city. The average member of Congress, elected for 2 years. From day one, they start raising money for their next election. Yep. And you talk about a short attention span.
Right.
3 years in this city is a statesman.
Yeah.
You know? So, these are problems. We can all talk about them and identify them. And in the end, my guess is nothing will be done.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up, because we were talking with the TSP, and all these folks are now going to be coming on board. The automatic enrollment has started actually at the beginning of the month. So now if you become a Fed as of whatever it was, Sunday, I think, you're automatically enrolled in the TSP. Any real implications to existing TSP members outside of the pool's bigger? So the great thing about the TSP
is... It's a good question. Probably nothing direct, but it will put more money in it, into the pool, and it'll bring more people. One of the things I think it might help the government, again, talking long run here, is, you know, what you figure when you first started out in your career, if somebody handed you the company retirement plan, you'd throw it out the window. You know, you're never going to get old. You're never going to retire. That's silly. Same with savings plans. One thing, you're young and you're low pay, but the other thing is you're not thinking about the golden years.
You're thinking that month to month, oh my goodness,
exactly.
I can't pay my bills
this
month.
But I at one point I was paid weekly and I lived from paycheck to paycheck, and then they switched it to biweekly and it was even worse. That said, instead of becoming aware of saving for retirement at maybe, 40, 50 even, these people are going to see it immediately because they're going to see what's coming out of their check. They won't really notice it because the first check will have those deductions, be a 3% unless they want to change it and raise it or lower it. And then they're going to realize a light bulb's going to go off and they're going to say, gee, the government is giving me another 3% in my account, 3% tax-deferred pay raise. And by the time they sort of figure it out, you know, going through all of the other things you do when you sign up, they're going to have a pot of money in the thrift savings plan. And it'll all be invested in the G fund. And then they'll say, what are the other options? You know, I'm 26 years old. I've got 20, 30 years ahead of me to work. So what are the other options? And they'll look at the stock and bond. So I think it's a win-win, not necessarily for people who are already in government, but I think it's a win-win for government because you're going to say, this is a tremendous benefit. And the next time you have a job offer and you say, does the company offer a 401k plan?
Yeah.
And they say yes. Well, many don't, but if they say yes, and then you say, well, do you offer the same 5% match as the government? They'll laugh in your face because they don't do it.
And can be real, you know, in a time where, you know, it's easier to find people these days, but there's going to be a time where the market is a lot more difficult. You know, people will recognize that, you know, hey, that 3 and 5% match, hey, that's not a bad deal.
It really is a double-barreled perk, and people who have it don't think anything about it, but those of us who don't have it, who are in 401k plans that don't offer a match, very, very well.
I just love access to those L funds. I call them the set it and forget it. You choose when you're going to start tapping the money.
Fire and forget.
And they adjust it on bonds and stocks.
Well, that's what I did with my 401k from the Washington Post. I put it in one of those target date funds.
Yeah.
I mean, and as a lot of people recommend, I heard John Elliott, benefits specialist, talking about this on radio the other day, and he said he said he's in his mid 60s, but he is in the most aggressive of the L funds, because he wants exposure to stocks and whatnot. And being a retired Fed, he's got a good annuity, so he's not going to have to tap his as quickly as some people. But yeah, if you're in the government, and again, none of us are financial planners,
but
we talk to a lot of people who are.
And we don't even pretend to play one on the radio.
No. We're wearing doctor suits now.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, the L funds are certainly worth looking at.
Yeah.